My guest this morning is Adam Aguilera, who is a high school English teacher with Evergreen School District. He was a 2019 candidate for the Vancouver City Council. He is a board member for the Washington Education Association, and he is also the former secretary and treasurer for the Evergreen Education Association. Adam, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Could you fill us in a little bit about what's going on with the Clark County Council Chair, Eileen Quiring, and the calls for her to resign?
There is growing outrage in the community where she claimed that systemic racism does not exist in Clark County. And what has happened as a result of different organizations like the NAACP, LULAC, along with the Washington Education Association Riverside Council, which represents almost 5,000 educators, the Columbian newspaper, which all of these different organizations have called for her resignation. Her response to that has been attacking those organizations by saying it's a knee-jerk reaction to call for her resignation, and then proceeds to continue to rant at public meetings that systemic racism does not exist. And she continues to actually make racist remarks, including things like comparing herself to a Confederate statue being torn down in the community, and using those people multiple times. And she also turned down the YWCA to have a listening session to educate and explain systemic racism to the council, because she wants them only to be nice to her in how they speak to her. And she wants to also include people into the discussion that do not believe that systemic racism is real in the county, because she believes that it is, quote, a difference of opinion. However, the community is arguing that when it comes to systemic racism, that is not up for debate. There's no opinion or difference of opinion about it. You either believe racism exists or you are complicit.
This controversy kind of kicked off, I think it was last week, when the sheriff announced the intent to remove Blue Lives Matter stickers from off any vehicles and off officers' uniforms. And that's the point at which Eileen Quiring, she's, I think, the one out of the five members of the county commissioners who took issue.
The reason why the sheriff had removed those decals from public property is because if you look at the origin of the thin blue line flag, the origin of just the phrase Blue Lives Matter, it is actually a counter symbol and a counter phrase, and it was designed specifically to diffuse the attention that was being brought to systemic racism. You know, that's why it's a very divisive set of symbols or phrases when that they are used, and that it's not appropriate for them to be on public property where the public taxpayers, which includes taxpayers from the Black and Brown communities, you know, do not want to see a divisive racist symbol being carried by Clark County Sheriff's personnel and on public property. That speaks to how much work that we need to do as a county in all of our institutions to address anti-racism and racial justice.
Yeah, and I mean, there does seem to be quite a lot of support for Quiring's resignation. I think within 2 days, about 2,500 people had signed on to petitions.
Yeah, it's well over 5,000 now.
It seems worth mentioning that last year, the Vancouver PD had three fatal shootings. Two out of the three were of people of color, and the third person was a houseless person. So the issue of police violence in Vancouver has also been generating quite a bit of attention.
Yes, that is correct. And one of those two individuals of color was actually an Evergreen public school student.
That was Clayton Joseph.
Was a tragedy in our community and traumatizing for our teachers and educators that were trying to support this student who recently immigrated to the United States and was hoping to, you know, start a new life here in the United States, you know, get a good education and become a productive member of the community. And in a moment of crisis, he was killed as a result of that by the Vancouver Police Department. And yeah, it's tragic that that's what happened to Clayton Joseph. And a lot of concern in the community about policing. There's a lot of ongoing work that we need to do as a community to make sure that we are dismantling institutional racism within our community. And all of those institutions represent the system that creates and perpetuates racism in our community. And it's important for viewers to understand that this isn't a recent thing, this isn't a modern thing. This systemic racism, again, has always existed. Since the founding of the colonies of the United States, it has never been addressed in a way where we have actively, as a community, gone through and dismantled these pieces. And it's in every institution in our community. It doesn't matter if it's a town hall, a police department, a school, a business. We are all affected by it.
And I think it's also just worth pointing to the examples that the NAACP letter to Quiring specifically called out, the state attorney general's recent findings that children of color are disproportionately disciplined over their white counterparts in Vancouver school districts. And that seems like a really important thing to keep in mind, given the fact that, you know, this racism also resulted in a creation of a sort of permanent class of exploited workers. And the letter calls out also the county's infamous history of workplace racial discrimination, lawsuits, substantial settlements, the inability to sustain meaningful workplace diversity, and disparities in local policing. And I know, Adam, that you in particular have been involved in diversity training, I think, for the school district, where there's a, you know, really substantial gap between the numbers of students of color in the school district and representations among the teachers.
Yes, that is correct. In fact, when I help out the school district in teaching in different elementary classrooms, for example, it's interesting when the students come up to me, because I'm oftentimes the very first male teacher of color they have ever seen. And it's interesting seeing their reaction, particularly around my black and brown students. And, you know, they'll always ask me about my last name, what they see the color of my skin, and they ask me where I'm from. They're genuinely curious, because they do not see teachers reflected in who they look like or their culture. It is so important that we diversify our educator workforce so that we can also begin the process of dismantling our school to prison pipeline, because that is accurate. Our students of color are disproportionately disciplined in our schools, and a lot of it has to do with how the adults perceive them, with their own implicit biases. Eileen Quiring, she is so deeply entrenched in her implicit biases that in some respects, I don't even think she realized what she's saying half the time. I think some of it is deliberate and intentional in the comments that she makes. So it's kind of like an explicit bias, a micro assault to the community. But there's a lot of things that she says where it's almost comical. You just can't help but laugh, because it's like, how can some of these words come out of a person's mouth?
I think it's important to note, though, that just very recently, you know, in terms of racism within the school, racism within public sector, we had a member of the Vancouver School Board, Mark Stoker, whose response to, it was on Twitter, right, to the protests around Black Lives Matter, was to suggest what, two words, fire hoses, right? So invoking the specter of the violence that was turned on people protesting in the era of the civil rights movement. Also, it seems important to note that the Vancouver City Council actually has only had one BIPOC person on the city council since 1857, you know, despite the fact that Vancouver is growing in diversity. And it looks like in 2019, the Vancouver City Council, looking at the possibility of creating electoral districts as a way of boosting the representation of people of color on the city council. And I'm not sure if that proposal has gone anywhere.
There's actually a sort of a task force that is looking into that, and their work is ongoing right now into the present. And yes, you bring up another example of systemic racism. If you look at the track record of publicly elected offices onto the Vancouver City Council, that is correct, that there has only been one black man who has served in that role. And it speaks to just the larger issue of how there is a lack of representation within community and Clark County in general, where people of color can participate in the democratic process, can represent residents of Clark County. And we have a lot of work to do in that regard. And so for Eileen to continually be doubling down and making these comments that systemic racism does not exist because she personally does not see it, is an injustice to every resident of Clark County, particularly from our black and brown communities.
Yeah, and I think you were pretty vocal in controversy surrounding Mark Stoker and the calls for his resignation. And more recently, you had a letter to the editor in the Columbian following the Columbian's publication of a quite racist cartoon in response to the Black Lives Matter. They did a, you know, very perfunctory apology, and then about 2 days later proceeded to publish yet another racist cartoon. So it's interesting that the Columbian is calling for Quiring's resignation, and that's obviously a really good thing. But the Columbian, I think, has its own issues, and you've been very public on that issue as well.
Yeah, and going back to speaking how this is in every institution, you know, that includes our own county newspaper. And the Columbian has a lot of self-reflection and educating and commitment to action to dismantling institutional racism as much as Eileen does. And what I'm hopeful is that in the editorial board's analysis of Eileen Quiring's comments, they did acknowledge that they do have to look at themselves as well to make those changes. And so I'm hoping that what Eileen has done has created a flashpoint in Clark County where we are all being self-reflective of how each of us can be anti-racists to dismantle institutional racism within our own communities. When you look at the Vancouver School Board, there is a very clear example where the Vancouver School District community said, no way, you've got to step aside. We are not going to have an older white male make a fire hose comment towards how protesters should be treated who are pursuing racial justice and social justice in our communities. And that's why, you know, he resigned basically like 24 hours after he made those comments. And now the Vancouver School Board actually just finished appointing to his vacant seat a Black woman to sit on the school board. And that is truly historical for the Vancouver School Board, making a commitment to anti-racism and showing action that they are going to have representation on their school board, that they are going to dismantle institutional racism in the Vancouver School District so that our students and our educators of color are part of that school district, feel safe, respected, and that their voice and concerns are validated for change.
Just wanted to call out one other thing with Quiring's recent comments. One was, you know, that she would wait until there was a series of public hearings on systemic racism or to hear from the community. And in that, in those comments, she remarked that she really wanted to hear from people who are over 40. And I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but people who are over 40 who haven't been so impacted by revisionist history, essentially, is what she was saying.
Yeah. And there's actually a term for that, for the training that I do around microaggressions. That's called a micro-invalidation. And what that means is that she is dismissing the concerns, credibility, and experience of other communities and demographics by focusing specifically on an age preference that she wants to hear from in terms of perspective. And then there's also this vague assumption that she's making about what is being taught in schools around racism. And I've received a lot of feedback from teachers about that. And they're shocked that she would make that comment, because one of the problems that we have of an institutional racism within our schools is that when you look at our social studies classes, for example, we do not teach Black history. We do not teach the oppression and systemic racism that has existed in the United States since the founding of the colonies. We touch on it, we mention it, but it is a very whitewashed history that we do. So for her to be making this comment about rewriting history, I would say history has already been rewritten and has been taught in our schools, where we don't talk about race in the classroom as much as we should do, so that we understand what our history is and that we are able to improve ourselves as a community, not to repeat the same mistakes that Eileen is repeating in some of the comments that she is making that have been made for decades and centuries by white elected officials that perpetuate and protect systemic racism in their communities. And there's a whole history that anyone can look up behind that. And so it's something that should not be tolerated and needs to continually be held publicly accountable. I think Evergreen Public Schools still has a long ways to go, but I am optimistic and hopeful that we are moving forward to being an anti-racist school district. And I would point to the recent hiring of Clarissa Hightower to be the new equity coordinator or director for Evergreen Public Schools. That is a first step and an important step in order to address institutional racism in Evergreen Public Schools.
Yeah, and I just want to do a quick shout out also for the materials that are created by Rethinking Schools, which has a great anti-racist curriculum and has been doing really good work in integrating the Black Lives Matter movement into the curriculum. My guest today has been Adam Aguilera, who is a high school English teacher with the Evergreen School District and was a 2019 candidate for the Vancouver City Council. He is also a board member of the Washington Education Association. Adam, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
This has been Desiree Hilligers for the Old Mill Variety Hour.